Amen. Don't you love the spectacles of faith that Jesus puts on us to see it his way? Before the message, I'm going to ask Joyce if you will pray. Yep. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have a Bible, turn to the last book, Revelation. I was in a church once where the pastor taught on Revelation for a year. And he didn't get out of the first chapter. No, I'm kidding. But it's a good book. The word actually means hidden. Hidden. How many think God hides things from us on occasion? How many think that's a real good idea? We're probably not always the best person to know things. Sometimes it's better God alone knows it. So in this great, great book, the 12th chapter, in the 11th verse, I'm going to read it out of the same. Well, it's all the same Bible here, but same translation. This is a verse that I've quoted since I became a Christian. The word tonight, the one word wonder, to overcome. Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. There are people in this world at this moment who are giving their lives for the gospel. And there's no fanfare, and there's nobody putting it in a book except God. But they consider that worthy to give their life. And I think of the many, many people that I've met in my life that not only are not willing to die for him, but they're not willing to live for him. And that is such a great sadness. But this is a wonderful scripture here, to overcome. How many feel sometimes like you're just hanging on? But the victory that Jesus won is not one that just drags us into heaven. It's not one where we barely get in. It's not one where if we sneeze, we're going to fall off. It is one that is so tight in grace and so profound that it makes the enemy shudder. You want to get any kind of effect out of him, you talk about overcoming. And what we're going to talk about here in this great chapter is kind of the history of it a little bit, the background. This is a future date, unknown to us, when the enemy is going to be kicked out of heaven again. Have you ever kicked out anyone from your house? I did once, years ago. Nobody in this room. the enemy was evicted the first time when he was Lucifer, okay? God evicted him, said, you're out of here. Yet, he still had the ability to go and to do something, and it was called accusing people. How do you like accusations? You can't prove them, you can't disprove them sometime, because they're emotion, they're rage, they have no clarity, they have no thought process. They just keep coming. So, in this great chapter, we find what, at least in my translation here in the New American Standard, it's talking about Israel in the beginning here, the woman Israel. Do you know why some of the things in the prophetic line here are in the feminine form? And that's because when Jesus brought the victory, what was he doing? He was undoing what Eve did in the garden. Okay? So he uses the imagery here of a woman, and it's Israel. And in the first verse, I'm going to read, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars, and she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain, she gave birth. And another sign appeared in heaven and followed, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. You can tell what is enemy precipitated or seeded, because the whole purpose will be to kill life. That will be the purpose. He came to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. He's not here. I don't care how many times he lures us. I don't care how many times he woos us. He is not here to make you a better Christian or me one. He is not here to give us the desires of our heart. He is there solely to do what? Undermine the work of God. So when you're reading in the scripture and you see about Israel, it's really important because Israel is the historical time clock of the Bible. So when you want to understand a little bit more of what's happening, you watch, because things are happening. And here, the devil is kicked out. Personally, I hope they do a replay, because I'd love to see it, when he was kicked out the first time. That's just my feeling. But the Bible goes on to talk about here, as he is in the 7th verse, when there's war in heaven, Michael and his angels are waging war with the dragon. Now, when Satan was first cast out, he was Lucifer, the star of the morning. Now he is called the dragon, that one that slithers and that one that comes after and bites. And it says here, and they were not strong enough, and so there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, and the serpent of old, who was called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. You want to be here when the devil's thrown to earth? I don't. But I thank God in Jesus' name we are protected. But then it goes on, and this is the scripture here to remember. Now the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night. This person is 24/7, folks. He never stops. Can you imagine? I mean, even some of the commentators and the hate mongers stop to eat. He's continuous. Imagine the, how awful. But another reason that I believe that it's talked in the feminine form here is because as you go through the scripture and you see in the New Testament where the bride of Christ is the church and who Jesus died for, it is the husband imagery protecting his bride who has been defamed, who is being maligned, who is being tormented. This is God in his tenderness, which is a wonderful imagery, if you think about it. So in this great 11th verse, it says, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. Directly. The word overcome, notice it's in the past tense. I always love that. See, the overcoming has already happened. It isn't something like we got to work for or do. Jesus already did it. And the word means to conquer, to overcome, or to vanquish. It's in the aorist sense of nikao, which was a word Jesus used of his own victory, of his own conquering over sin. You know what aorist means? It means a word that has action, that has continued effect, kind of like rippling effects. You know, when Jesus died, he died once for all. But doesn't that affect us every day? Shouldn't that continue to affect us and affect this world? It's better than Tylenol 12-hour release. I'm telling you, lasts longer. It's more effective. But here are the components of this. First of all is the blood of the Lamb. It's the best place to start. Without the blood, you have no life. This is our salvation. You really want to make the enemy mad? Talk about your salvation. If you talk about who you are and what you've done, he don't care about that. But the blood. Now here's a different story. Because he can remember every ounce. Remember, he was there. He was expecting Jesus to be destroyed. He's still surprised. Wouldn't you have loved to have seen his face when Jesus came up to him and said, "Give me the keys to the kingdom"? I would have loved it. He just had to go, huh? He doesn't know everything. I love it. So the first one is the blood of the Lamb. And this is the salvation that changed our life forever. Secondly is the word of their testimony. And I want you to get this word testimony. The word in the Greek is martyrius. This is the word martyr. What kind of testimony are we willing to give? I remember when I was first a Christian and I was in high school and I had all those buttons, you know, a button for everything. I loved it. I had one that said, "My God's not dead, sorry about yours." I loved it. And I would kind of push it into people so they'd see it, you know. But they'd get mad at me. I was in the middle of a class when a woman got mad at me. She looked at me and then she said, she didn't see another one, and she said, "What does that say?" And I said, "Eternity's a long time for a mistake." And then she just shut up. She never said another word to me throughout high school. A martyr. You know what a martyr is? Somebody who gives their life for the life of the Lamb. And they are to be honored. But the enemy was accusing. What were they doing? Sharing Jesus. That's what they were doing. And they put their lives on the line. They learned a very important precept, which we can actually still learn. The devil cannot kill what's already dead. If we are truly dead in our trespasses and sins, if we are truly taking our cross daily and living for Jesus Christ, the devil cannot kill what's already dead, what already belongs to Jesus Christ. Now, he can torment you. He can try to. He can accuse. He can bounce things off of you, but he knows he cannot destroy you. And that really gets him. Every time he sees you, he knows he's finished. He doesn't like it a bit. They love not their lives to the death. They weren't trying to protect themselves. They wanted to protect the Lamb and the Word of God. Isn't it wonderful that that victory, bathed in blood, brought life through death? So now we picture here, as we look at the nurturing of victory, something interesting. It talks about the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. Can't you just see the Lord just throwing him over like a wrestler, just flattening him? Oh, I really want to see that picture. Who accuses them day and night, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. Now, the word accuser is another interesting word. I love these words. I'm giving you two tonight because I like you. But these are just excellent. The word is kategoros. You know that word? Same word as category. When the enemy accuses, he has a long list, and he categorizes them. He'll save some for work. He'll take some home with you. He'll find some with your family, and he'll find some on the road. And you know why he does it? Because he really doesn't know what God's doing in you. He doesn't honestly know what's going to happen. So what he does is he takes a long list, and he figures, I know I'm going to penetrate one of them. One of those accusations is going to stick. But you know what? The Bible talks about, and this again is the great armor of God, this shield of faith. You know what it does? The fiery darts hit the shield, and because of faith in Christ, bounces back and hits him. He has a lot of wounds he'll never talk about. And that's part of what overcoming is. What the word means all in general here is you take the weapon out of the hand of the enemy and it actually afflicts him. That's what it really means. What is the word, what is the weapon he uses here against people? Words, right? Words. Words can be beautiful, they can be wonderful, but they can be deadly. If I asked you one phrase somebody told you when you were a kid, I'll bet you remember it, and I'll bet it's negative. That's why we need to read the word, because it's positive. It's God's great word to us, who's known us, by the way, before our families did, and can put in us that great seed for real life and real hope and real joy. In the Old Testament, there's a book called Esther. I don't know how many of you have read too much of it. It's a great story. Love it. I've taught it. It's a wonderful. And there's a person in there whose name is Haman. And he wants to destroy Mordecai, and he wants to destroy Esther and all the Jews. And so he does something. He builds a gallows to go and to kill them. And the story ends with this. He's hung on his own instrument. He's hung on his own instrument. The very weapon the enemy will try to use against you and me, the Lord will use against him. And it's words. That's why this is called the Word of God, the living expression of God Almighty to this earth, the Logos. It's impenetrable. It is powerful. And I can guarantee you, the enemy don't want to hear this neither, especially when you believe it. To overcome, in essence, means that weapon that is tried to be used against you cannot prosper. You remember that in the Old Testament? No weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon. The enemy has all this time. All he has to do is think about how to hurt you, how to hurt me. But the blood of the Lamb and the living word of our testimony, loving not our lives unto the death. That means every day we wake up and say, Lord, I'm not alive in myself. I'm living in Christ. Therefore, I no longer live. Yet Jesus Christ lives in me. And the enemy cannot destroy that. And I don't know about you, but I'm certainly thrilled for that. Because he can take us and make mincemeat out of us. But he cannot do it to Jesus Christ. How many are glad for the overcoming? How many need some of the overcoming? Okay? Because he thinks we're in a boxing ring. The truth is, the devil's already flattened. He just doesn't want us to know it. That's really the truth. So we need to stay in this glorious word. And they overcame him, let's say it together, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. These are people in the future that will literally give their lives for the sake of Christ. But every day we can give our lives, can't we? And we'll put up with some persecution, and we'll put up with some people that laugh at us. That's okay. Somebody asked me once, you're just trying to escape. I said, yeah, I'm escaping hell. How about you? And then he kind of changed tune, and I could talk to him. I thank the Lord for the scripture. The book of Revelation is an interesting book. Never read it without the real sense of the Lamb of God in the midst of it. Because it does have a lot of interesting unknowns. We probably won't know until we're there. Because God is more concerned with that we get there than what it looks like when we get there. He wanted us to find the way, which is him. So we thank the Lord for his word. And I pray that it goes down deeply in your soul. Because one thing is for sure, Jesus bled for us to give us that overcoming victory. Take that weapon right out of his hand and say, Jesus died for that. You cannot use it against me anymore. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Now, who has that third hymn before we pray?